If you missed any part of the morning show with Johnny and Ken, well, this is where you can catch yourself up. Or if you just want to relive all of those award-winning moments, you can do that with this wonderful podcast. And it's made possible by our friends at Lake Michigan College. Connect to your future. Visit lakemichigancollege.edu. Thanks for spending some time with us as you get your day going. Get the coffee on. Get the breakfast going. Maybe
eggs, scrambling.
Maybe a scone.
Ooh, scone would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of jam.
Delicious.
I like that.
Some waffles.
Ah, had some waffles over the weekend.
Did you?
So good. Today's International Waffle Day, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't every day International Waffle Day?
It should be.
I did not know it was Waffle Day.
No, I've been watching this one for a while.
Yeah, you're right. It is Waffle Day.
So it's a great excuse to go out and mix up some waffle stuff. Make yourself a fresh batch.
Did you know the Belgian waffle is not actually from Belgium?
I did not know that. Where is it from?
It says we got them from a Belgian guy.
Oh, okay.
Who introduced them to the U.S. At the 1962 Seattle World's Fair.
Great place to do it.
So there you go.
What year did they have the Spokane World's Fair? 1974.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why do you know that?
I don't know. It's just random trivia. The Spokane World, the expo in Seattle, the World's Fair there, was cool because it gave us monorail and the Space Needle and the Science Center and all that fun stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then in Spokane, I don't know what they did.
Yeah.
I think they had a tent.
Yeah. they don't have any futuristic marvels that I can think of.
Not that I can think of. I mean, I think they had like a leaning arena tower like looking thing, but that's about it.
Oh, all right.
It's the Inland Empire.
Yeah. Very cool.
That's their name.
Well, now you know.
Now you know.
The Belgian waffle.
Waffles.
Waffles. So
what do you prefer? Do you like the Wego, the Eggo, like the thin ones, or the Belgian waffles, which are like super?
I like the big fatty waffle.
Those are good.
Yeah. Like when I go to a diner, if they've got a good waffle on the menu, then I'll get that. Mm. But usually I get a short stack of pancakes. But yeah, if they've got
that's
a waffle.
Yummy too.
Yeah, I love the hotel waffles.
Yeah, that you can make yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun.
It's an absolute mess.
Yeah, it's great.
But when it comes
somebody
out,
somebody else cleans it up, though.
Yeah, it's delicious. And then, of course, they're like, yeah, you want this delicious, hot, giant waffle? Why don't you put it on this styrofoam plate and try to eat it with these really, really thin plastic fork and knives?
Yeah, big mess everywhere.
So, yeah, it's just, yeah, and then you get a big bucket of syrup, dump that on there. Yeah, it's the messiest thing, but it is delicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a big, big waffle person. I do enjoy the Eggos, though.
Yeah, Eggos are good.
Those are a classic great waffle.
I mean, with enough peanut butter and syrup on it, it's pretty good anywhere.
Oh, yeah. I like to make a sandwich out of that.
Oh.
You put, like, a little sausage or something like that or an egg.
Okay.
Boom. Sandwich.
Yum.
More waffle facts coming up later. today is also, just looking at other random holidays, today's National J.R.R. Tolkien Reading Day.
Oh,
so break out your Lord
precious.
Of the Rings or Silmarillion or any of those other
Salmonella?
Class. Yeah.
What?
The Silmarillion?
Yeah.
It's the, so it is, they've got The Hobbit, you've got the Lord of the Rings series that has the Return of the King Fellowship and all that.
Yeah.
But the Silmarillion is like all of Tolkien's, it's a book that was made after he died.
Oh.
And it's all of his notes.
Oh.
So he was, out of any fantasy writer, I would say he did the most of creating of worlds than anybody else. More than the Star Trek folks, the Star Wars, any of those fantasy writers. Yep. Extensive notes. He created languages.
Oh.
All kinds of stuff.
Jeez.
So I think his son took Silmarillion, and there is some story there, and then it's a lot about the elves and the all kinds of stuff. So,
That's fascinating.
I've got it at my house. If you want to borrow it, makes no sense. it's a lot to try and digest when you're reading it.
What's it called again?
Silmarillion.
I thought it was, I thought that was just something that happened to chickens.
No,
salmonella.
Nope.
Yeah,
and it is not. It's not a disease. It is a book.
Okay,
it is a book. So check it out when you get a chance, or read any other J.R.R. Tolkien book today.
Fun.
Other things going on. How was your weekend?
It was nice.
Besides the waffles.
The very first time I'm pretty sure. I have to think back. I've driven hybrids before. I've definitely driven gas combustion engine cars. Mm-hmm. This weekend, I drove a fully electric Mustang Mach-E.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Some friends were passing through. They were in Chicago for the weekend. They were heading back to Detroit, and they stopped by. And
you wanted to try it out?
I had to give one of the people a ride to the charging station to pick their car up.
Oh, okay.
And he said, you want to drive it? I'm like, nah. Well, yeah, okay.
Sure, why not?
I've never driven one of these things before. And I told him, I said, I'm still mad that Ford named it
the Mustang. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It is pretty cool, though.
It was cool.
You like it?
Yeah, it was interesting because I said, all right, is there anything I need to know? First off, I couldn't even open the door to get in.
Oh, has it got a weird handle thing?
It just has a handle, and there's also a thing that looks like a power button, but there's no handle or door, no moving part other than the button. I didn't touch the button because I didn't know what the button was going to do.
Sure.
That was how you open the door, is you push the button and it like pops the door out.
So that's weird. That's weird.
That was extraneous.
That's the same thing with Tesla. It has the glide pass. Yeah, and then you got to push one end and it's confusing.
So he finally opened the door for me. I got in. He said, "Okay, this is it's a one foot control or something. I don't know what one pedal control." I was like, "Well, what do you mean? I only use 1 foot whenever." And he's like, "No. What this does is it's got an accelerator and a brake."
Yeah.
But if you wanted to, I've got it in the mode where you can, where you only have to use the accelerator. Where if you let off on the accelerator, it rapidly decelerates like you're pushing on the brake.
Yeah, that's the weird part. I've driven a couple electric cars, and that's the strange part that the deceleration is very strange.
And it was very convenient. I got used to it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because once I had confidence it wasn't going to creep forward mm-hmm. because it was actually stopping. And the reason it's stopping is because it's generating power. It's using that deceleration to generate more electricity for the battery. So that was fun. He let me stand on it once. So that was fun to see how fast it would go quiet the thing was. So that was fun.
In a controlled environment, of course.
In a very controlled environment, and we didn't break any laws that I'm aware of.
Okay, good.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah, that is the weird part is the deceleration, because my brother has not only Tesla, but his son has a BMW small little golf cart looking thing.
golf cart's a good description.
It looks like a golf cart and feels kind of like that. but I drove it around just to buy his house, and it's like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
You take the foot off the gas and it just, or the accelerator, and you just start to slow down really fast. Like, whoa, that's weird.
But some of the practical things I was thinking about is, okay, if I'm not using the brake anymore, what's that do to the brake industry?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, because most people, they let their car sit for a weekend. The rotors get a little bit of rust on them, but that gets all knocked off the moment they start driving again and start hitting the brakes. These, they rust. Because you're not using them. You never use them. And then you think about the disc brake or the brake pad replacement. Yeah. That's a lot less. Now, to replace that, some people are wearing their tires out a lot faster.
Right. Because it's the heavier car.
It's a heavier car, and they're just accelerating a lot quicker, and they don't really think about it. And all these other factors that are going into it. He said somewhere between 15 and 20,000 miles, he needed a new set of tires. It started from new.
Oh, wow.
15,000 miles later, started noticing, oh, yeah, we're going to have to get some new tires soon. And he let his kid drive it. So that might have been part of it.
Because regular tires is like you can go
25,000 miles, maybe 50,000 miles, depending on the tire.
Yeah, depending on all the burnouts that you do in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I mean, you got to have the smoke.
Right, exactly. Every once in a while.
but that was part of the highlights of my weekend.
That's a pretty adventurous weekend.
It was a nice weekend. It was a lot of fun. Wonderful. But how about you?
I was spending a lot of time in front of the computer on Saturday.
Oh, why?
Making sure that we had the state finals.
Oh, that's right.
The girls basketball state finals. Unfortunately, Brandywine could not make it happen. Lost by 3 points.
Oh.
There were some... If you listen to the game, if you happen to listen to the game, there were some turnovers that were happening, and really the lowest they did get the get some sort of prize. They got the record for the lowest scoring game in Division III Class C basketball.
It was,
I think, 33-30.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What, the end of the game?
End of the game. 33-30. I think at the half it was like 15 to something. Yeah, it was a very low scoring game.
Is that a lot of defense or what?
Yeah. A lot of defense, a decent amount of turnovers as well. So it was a good game though.
Huh.
But they just
congratulations for getting as far as they got, and so was that making number 2?
Yeah, they got the number 2 prize.
Okay.
So
I bet that's a pretty trophy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, you get a finalist trophy. Yeah. So
that's nice.
But yeah, good job to the girls and their great, great basketball program.
Yeah.
Both boys and girls. Uh-huh. They've got a good future ahead too, because there were some young girls in that on that team. Still some seniors that were leading the team, but they've still got a good foundation.
I heard they had a lot of juniors on this team, and so they're gonna bring back what 80-85% of them, yeah. And it'll be great.
Should be next year. Solid team next year. So I think they'll be back.
Good.
So looking forward to that. But yeah, all the state finals. Learned about all the different mascots and and things like that. There was one that was the hematites. I think it was.
The hematites.
Like, isn't that a rock?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I was like, those are the people that take your blood for the Red Cross or something.
Oh, yeah. That might be
the hematites.
That might be too. So congratulations to all those teams. But yeah, that's pretty much how my weekend went. And then just spending time. I went to Little Shop of Horrors at Southwestern Michigan College.
Oh, how was it?
Saw that on Sunday.
How was it?
Fantastic.
Oh, great.
Yeah, everybody in that show was awesome. The set was great. The plant was great. Everybody did a fantastic job. So I'm glad I went, because every time I talk to these and interview these folks at all these different theater performances, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to get to the show. I'll try my best to get there. And a lot of times my schedule gets so busy and I never get a chance to go. But I made sure my mom actually wanted to hang out with me and go see the show. So we did that and had a great time.
That's nice.
So
that's very fun.
Looking forward to more great theater performances around the community.
So soon. You got to watch it without having to control the audio.
I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to perform.
I didn't have to listen or do anything. Did you kind of think into the back of your mind, I would have done that better?
No, I never critique that stuff. No. Whether it be behind the scenes or on stage, I just observe
nice.
their good talent.
Hematite, by the way, is neither an animal or vegetable. It is a mineral.
Ah.
Yeah, it's an iron oxide.
So it's just we're the fighting iron oxides.
We're the fighting
minerals.
I
thought it was just like, yeah, a rock or something.
It's very
like
pretty.
That. All right.
Yeah, there you go. Mineral.
Nice. weird choice for a mascot, but hey, they won. I think they won the
state
championship.
We're on the move.
So.
No, we're not. We're a rock.
Exactly. Lots of things to talk about this morning. First, let's talk about the chicken thing.
Oh, yeah.
Chick-fil-A. What's going on with them?
You know, I mean, when I used to eat meat, I love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the breading or the chicken or the sauce. The sauce is fabulous.
Oh, the Chick-fil-A sauce is very, very good.
That's good stuff. But, you know, one of the popular things about Chick-fil-A, what made people feel good about it was they promised a while ago that they would never sell chicken that had antibiotics as part of its regime.
Sure.
Regimen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A will shift now to allow some antibiotics in its chicken starting this spring. Back in 2014, they made
promise.
In 2014, they did promise. They made that commitment to use only antibiotic-free chicken.
Sure.
But they say to maintain supply of the high-quality chicken you expect, Chick-fil-A will shift to from no antibiotics ever. They even had an acronym of NAE to no antibiotics important to human medicine starting in the spring of 2024.
Great.
Yeah.
So is that going to make it taste different?
No antibiotics important to human medicine.
Yeah.
Slow. Is that kind of their spin on it?
I guess that's their justification.
Does that really mean anything, though? Does that make you feel better? It's like,
No. Well,
this antibiotic is not important to human medicine, so we're going to use it. According to the announcement, chicken antibiotics will only be used if the animal and those around it were to become sick. The antibiotics used to treat poultry are not intended for humans, really, pretty much. So what does that mean for Botox? Well, anyway.
That's okay.
In accordance with
Botox chickens?
In accordance with FDA requirements, all antibiotics must be cleared from the chicken's system before it's considered available for the chicken supply. The United States Department of Agriculture audits, they say, and verifies that suppliers are meeting the requirements of the Chick-fil-A not important for human consumption commitment.
That's a weird acronym that they're going to have to try and fit in.
No antibiotics important to human medicine.
All right.
Yeah. They said as they looked into the future, the availability of high-quality chicken that meets their rigid standards has become a concern.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're changing.
As they continue to grow, probably, and the to meet that supply.
They need bigger chickens.
Right. Feed them more, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a chicken man. I'm not a chicken farmer, but... yeah, I guess whatever they can do to keep that chicken flowing.
Yeah, there you go. Liquid chicken.
Yeah, liquid chicken.
Coming
that's
to
what
a
they
restaurant
need.
Near you.
Bulk them up. You just start putting in chicken gyms.
Oh, man.
Get them bulked up. make them more lean. And then, get some protein shakes for the chicken.
That's tough for a company that came out and said, we are better than everyone else. We're never going to put antibiotics in our chicken.
Yeah, way to do that. Like, if you're running a company, don't make those kind of promises.
If you can't keep it.
Yeah, if you can't keep them. Yeah. Like, guys, no.
You should find a way. Maybe, I don't know.
No, now I'm going to question them and say, hey, guys, you're going to break that promise. Why don't you just say, hey, we're open on Sundays.
Ooh.
Sometimes.
Ooh. Yeah, go back on that one. That's one
on
we want you
one.
To go back on.
Yeah, that's the promise we were like, yeah, I don't care about
that. That's the one you want to rescind.
Exactly. Drove by there yesterday and was like,
wish
come
you were
on.
Open. Yeah.
The only time I want Chick-fil-A is on a Sunday.
Leave
I guess
them
it's
wanting
one of those,
more.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you can't have it, that's when you want it most.
Yep.
March Madness, we've been checking out our brackets and noticing that, we had to cross off a few of them. I think we did okay. My bracket looks all right on the women's side. They haven't gotten to the Sweet 16 yet, so we'll see what ends up happening with this slate of games. But
on the men's
doing?
Side, how many do you have left in the final four?
In the final four?
Yeah.
In the men's side?
We've got the 16, but I mean, I'm seeing some X's in my final four.
I have 3 out of 4.
You've got 3 out of 4 still?
Yep, so I've got UConn, Arizona, and Purdue in my final four.
Okay.
I had Kentucky, but Kentucky, of course, got upset by the Uber driver that plays for Oakland University.
Yeah, I had Kentucky. I also had Michigan. I went with the emotional pick there.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I've only got UConn and Purdue.
I did that with Michigan State, and it worked out for me for the first round.
Yeah.
But did not work out for me in the women's side, though. Because they lost.
Mm.
But anyways.
Mm. Mm.
So that did not pan out. So you have your final four kind of
UC Purdue
half and half?
Yeah. And the final two will just be UConn.
Okay.
So if they win the national championship, I'm still in good shape there.
Yeah, I've got a lot more check marks than X's, which is good.
Well, that's good.
It's only like a couple X's throughout this whole entire bracket. So
okay.
Had I done that pick the emotional pick that I wanted to, and picked Oakland University, because I considered them to make that upset that they did, and I'd done that, I would have been better off.
Yeah. Are they still in it?
No. I think they got beat.
Mm. Where did I miss that? I missed that.
I think they got beat by NC State.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, anyway.
But it was a good
brackets.
Cinderella team while it lasted.
Yep.
But you found NC State game. There was an issue in the middle of the game where the referee got pulled.
Yeah. So NC State's playing Chattanooga.
Yeah.
They did beat them 64-45 in the first round of the women's basketball tournament. The Wolfpack took the lead midway through the first quarter, never looked back. And a lot of people were like, well, then why'd you pull the referee? What's happening here? So they pulled the referee because of a background conflict.
Yeah, what kind of background conflict? Was he like somebody's dad?
Tommy Paris was removed from the game at halftime when it was discovered that she had received a master's degree from Chattanooga.
Oh.
And she was replaced by a different ref who had worked the previous game at the site. So they had to scramble to find somebody to take her place.
Okay.
Yeah, the move came as a surprise to Chattanooga coach Sean Poppy, according to the Associated Press. They literally just got me in the locker room and said they were making a change. Chattanooga coach Sean Poppy said of when he learned about it at halftime, he said, "I didn't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything specific. Maybe the second time in my career that's ever happened, but the other, there was an injury, so this one, I'm not really sure." Well, get a master's degree from the school, and then you're reffing for the game where the school's playing. I guess that's a conflict.
I guess, but
I would see that as a conflict.
I mean, I guess you could see that. I mean, yeah. I'm sure the
but
person,
how did they get that far?
Yeah, I'm sure the person that's referee going to be non-biased, but you want to play it safe because you don't want anybody to say, "Well, the reason that we lost is because that person happened to to visit there in 1992. They've got a degree from there." It's like, are you going to start doing that to all the judges and all the other people?
You go to school there, you feel like some sort of allegiance.
Yeah, there's some
potentially,
yeah.
And maybe you have an unconscious bias. Who knows? That was not the only referee to be pulled from the game on Saturday. The other one did suffer an injury. Referee Michael Price fell down while running up the court, then clutched the back of his leg and said, "Ow!" And so they replaced
him. Pulled a hammy, probably.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. It appeared to be a hamstring injury.
Ouch. Well, that's got to be tough, though. When you have these tournaments at all these different places, mm-hmm. and the need for referees is always big. So to have to do that kind of check, like, "Hey, where'd you go to school? Where'd you get your degree?
Again,
give me a resume."
These are known things. How do they schedule somebody without that disclosure? Is it up to the ref to disclose it? Would you have any kind of conflict whatsoever?
My guess is they've got some sort of spreadsheet computer program or something that just...
But this one got through. I bet what happened is somebody in the crowd knew the ref and said, "Hey, I know you. We went to school together."
Yeah. Class of 95,
that's
man.
That's the Chattanooga ref.
Yeah, I imagine they would obviously be unbiased to the whole thing.
They would
try. I could see where people will say, "Wait a minute." So I'm glad they did that, but I'm glad they had a backup.
Didn't you go to Chick-fil-A?
Yeah. Where'd you go have dinner last night? Well, that's just like kind of a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing,
yeah.
Where it's like, well, you happen to know this person, you happen to know that person, you happen to know that person. But anyways, all right. We talked about this last week as it was developing. But Shohei Ohtani, for people that don't know who he is the probably the biggest baseball player out there in the world. Like, everybody knows, if you're a baseball fan, you know who Shohei Ohtani is. And people that don't know baseball, you've been hearing his name quite a lot.
Yes.
Because, there's some bad things going on when it comes to his translator, who got fired on Friday, and he's going to try and make sense of the whole thing and have some conversations today?
Yeah. So Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani is expected to address the media today as Major League Baseball is now investigating allegations of theft against his former interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
So MLB's involved. They've got their inspectors on the case. How'd you like that job?
Oh, be an inspector of the MLB?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be a tough job.
A private detective
for
the MLB. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts told reporters yesterday, "I'm happy he's going to speak to what he knows and give his thoughts on the whole situation. I think it'll give us a little bit more clarity."
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, because none of this happens in a vacuum.
Right.
MLB is probably saying, "Hey, we're going to have Shohei address these mm-hmm. issues, and he's going to have to say one thing or the other because we can't have this taint hanging around the MLB."
Right, because the season's about to start, and I think it already has for them because they had a set of games in South Korea that they played, and I believe those were regular season games.
Oh, really?
To kick off the season. They're trying to really make baseball more more international than it already is.
Yeah.
This cloud has been hanging over the Dodgers. And even Dave Roberts, I mean, he's every press conference that mm-hmm. he's been a part of since this has happened, they keep asking him about it. And he says, I can't comment on that. It's a legal thing. I am not the person to talk about it, so I'm glad that Shohei is going to be doing that.
Yeah, his Ohtani's longtime Japanese interpreter, Ippi Mitsuhara, was fired after Ohtani's lawyers accused him of massive theft of millions of dollars, placing bets with a bookmaker. That bookmaker under federal investigation, an attorney for the bookie. Can we say bookie?
Yeah, you can say bookie.
We can say bookie.
Yeah, sure, why not?
An attorney for the bookie, Matthew Bauer, the former bookmaker under the federal investigation, said he never met or had any direct contact with Ohtani. But did do business with Mitsuhara. So I think everyone's got their story straight now.
At least let's hope so.
And Shohei Ohtani's coming out to talk to the media.
But if
later
you look
today
at the bank statements, it's coming out of Ohtani's account.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so that's
$4.5 million. I mean, it's like
That's where it gets a little fishy, because it's like, of course they've got their story straight, or they're saying what they're saying, but what really happened is what's really in question. And
how good of a friend does he have to be to get $4.5 million?
Well, think about this.
I mean, can you loan me like $1.5-2 million?
I would if you were, we were good friends, okay. And I also
we're
just
not good
got
friends.
We're not at giving money friends stage. Oh, that's a different level of friendship.
Understand.
You gotta be my friend for a while to get the money. but think about it too. You just got a $700 million contract that you signed. So you've got some money in the bank.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, if his buddy, who was his interpreter, had some gambling issues. Now, gambling's legal in other states that aren't California.
Right.
It's like 38 or 40 states or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't he, being a longtime friend of his, why wouldn't he influence him to say, hey, what do you think about Chicago or, you know, the Tigers? What do you think about going there?
What are you hearing?
What do you think about going to those teams instead of, you know, staying in California? Because, you know, gambling's illegal in California. So, you know, got to feed the bear or whatever the gambling monkey that you have on your back. Yeah. So I don't know. This will be interesting to see how, as their stories, they have their stories straight, but how does this get proven that this is exactly what their story says happened? Because the evidence is, hey, it's on your bank account. It could be, the story really could be that Shohei could be also involved in actually placing these bets.
It'll be interesting to hear Mitsuhara's account, if that ever comes out, to understand what his side of the story is.
Yeah, because I was listening to Dan Patrick's show, and they said that they made him, because he's also, when you're an interpreter, I guess you're not employed by the player,
right?
You're employed by the team.
Okay,
so you're like a staff member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right. So I don't know. I don't know how all that stuff works, how that's going to pan it out. But I heard something that they made him available for like 90 minutes to reporters at ESPN. So interesting to see what comes out of that.
Yeah.
If there's recordings, of course, and notes out of that interview. But
hopefully nothing gets lost in translation.
It's tough for the Dodgers to actually stay focused on the game when all this stuff is going on. Because they got a season to start, and then, and of course they paid the guy $700 million. They'd like to keep him on the team, and they'd like to win the World Series with him.
Sure.
So we'll see. But so he's going to talk. What he's talking today?
Yeah, he's talking today.
What time?
I don't know. It's California, so they'll probably be on Pacific time.
Oh, okay.
So later today.
All right. We'll have to check that out.
Because they're sleeping right now.
I got some other bad news.
Uh-oh.
I pulled this out because I know you really have a vested interest in
this.
Yes,
I do.
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah. This is bad news?
Bad news. There's reports that the company is pushing all employees to return to the office, partly because development is starting to lag a little bit.
Oh, no.
Rockstar Games says that the game trailer that would be released in 2025, but sources are now saying that they may be in an optimistic timeline of 2026 is more likely.
They are horrible. 2026?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
So Because how many years has it been since the last game?
The last game came out in 2013.
So
it's been 10, 11 years.
They update it though, right? Is it one of those games that they add little things to it?
Well, they put out updates, but I mean the game is really, I mean there's the story mode and then there's the online mode.
Yeah.
The online mode is where they keep making bundles of money.
Worlds and other different things.
No new worlds, just different little challenges and that kind of stuff. Races and battles and heists.
Betting on baseball in California.
But that's what a lot of people have been frustrated at is it's like, okay, well, we've got this game. You've had 10 years. You made a few billion bucks off of people.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you put a new one out? So there were tremendous leaks last year showing the progress of the gameplay, and it looked kind of cool, and the storyline seems cool.
Sure.
But I subscribe to the GTA job openings to see what they're doing, and they are constantly, every single day, they've got new stuff for a lot of different developer type openings, more game developer type openings.
That's no good.
And apparently the culture of work there, not the greatest.
Mm.
So I don't know what it is. And they've got offices, big offices, all around the world.
Why would there be so many job openings, and why would the work environments be so bad? They haven't put out a game in 10 years.
They put out other games because they've got, the Red Dead Redemption line.
But that's their flagship.
That is the huge one.
Yeah.
That's the big one. That's the moneymaker.
That's the one that made them what they are, really, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So.
Yeah, if they push it again, I'll have to take some days off and
personal
go protest.
Yeah. 2026, that's crazy for, I don't know, how long does it take for a game to be developed?
I don't know.
I mean, I've never, anybody that happens to be in the video game world, I know there's a lot more online gaming and video, what is that called when they have the competitions, where they play video games? I know that Lake Michigan College has it. What is the game competition?
Oh, esports.
Esports.
Yeah.
When they have esports, they play a certain game, but how long does it take to develop a game?
Depends on the complexity of the game, the graphics that you want, the stories that are in it.
Yeah.
All the production that has to go in.
Hmm.
And with AI, it's funny because you think about what does a game company do in between times when they do major releases, and you think about all the new technologies that are advancing time and time again. If I've got a desktop computer, I keep upgrading my sound card and my video card.
Sure.
Company's got to figure that out. They've got to update all kinds of different engines. Now you have AI to help you, hopefully.
Right,
with
that's
coding.
What I was thinking. Well, not even the coding side, but just the artistic side.
Sure.
When we did Willy Wonka at the high school,
right?
The guy that was running lights and doing a lot of the scenery stuff, he's like, "Oh yeah, we need a new background. Let me just look it up in this app.
Yep.
Boom, that's what we need." Yeah. And in instant.
Yeah.
He said what he wanted. You could do the same thing with video games. You're like, I want to create this cityscape, and especially if it's a city that already exists, be like, we'll just make this Chicago skyline and all these city streets. Boom.
Yeah.
Your world is basically done. Now you just got to do the fine tuning of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be part of the reason for the delay is, okay, new technology, we've got to revamp and make this work. And I'm sure it works somehow in that AI world.
Got to get the robots to do some stuff.
You got to get the bots to do some stuff so that they don't look silly when they release something. It's like, oh, that's pretty. I can see a couple of pixels moving across the screen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need to go back to like Pong. Just the simple 8-bit, just simple video games, not the crazy stuff that they're putting out now. All right.
Well, that's an economic piece of news too.
Right.
That's going to bring in a lot of dough when they
the stock is
release.
Probably going to go. Stock would probably go down.
I would think.
On that video game company. I feel like this should be a segment.
Yeah.
We should just make room for the FAA because it seems like they've been keeping themselves very very busy. Everything from the Boeing stuff.
Sure.
And now some other things going on with the FAA.
Well, so the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration has announced that they're going to increase oversight of United Airlines. You know, we've, as you mentioned, Johnny, we've been talking a lot about mm-hmm. Boeing being under the microscope because of, you know, doors falling off and wheels
pretty
falling off.
Stuff.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now the spotlight is kind of going over to United Airlines to ensure mm-hmm. that the carrier's compliance with safety regulations are happening following a series of safety incidents. Now, United has declined to comment about this, but a source has confirmed to Bloomberg News that the FAA could potentially not approve allowing customers on United's new planes or new routes until all this is sorted out. Now, you ask, well, what safety incidents were those? Well, it was an external panel missing from a United aircraft that landed in Oregon.
Seems pretty important.
Right? Boeing 737 MAX and its fleet rolled onto the grass in Houston. A United-operated Boeing bound for Japan lost a tire after takeoff. So you've got a lot of Boeing stuff happening, but then you've also got United pointing the finger at Boeing saying, hey, we need a meeting about your safety stuff. The FAA is now pointing at United saying, hey, you have the car now. You bought it off the lot.
I was just going to say
that. You got to take it, you know, take some responsibility too.
Once you take the thing off the lot, you're responsible for it as the maintenance. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there's some maintenance going along with it, but you're responsible for doing the checks because they tighten bolts and do all the stuff. And
it's your car now.
That's why,
That's
why when the plane lands, there's that little time between you getting off the plane and other people getting back on. They got to check some of this
stuff. Can you imagine how much a plane depreciates from when you take it off the lot?
Oh, I imagine. I mean, because, with cars, it goes down quite a lot.
United's corporate safety vice president, Sasha Johnson, said in a memo on Friday that over the next several weeks, employees will see more of a presence by the FAA, mm-hmm. quote, in our operation as they begin to review some of our work processes, manuals, and facilities. How fun would that be to have the FAA staring over your shoulder?
Not fun at all.
No.
No. I would hard pass on that one.
The incidents have rightfully caused us to pause and evaluate whether there's anything we can and should do differently, said Johnson's memo. And they say they welcome the FAA's input.
they welcome
that's a load
it.
Of malarkey,
yeah, they but, welcome it right now.
Yeah.
But we wish them well.
Wish them well.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah, I would not want to deal with that.
I think the bottom line here is nobody wants to see the headline of a plane crash.
No, absolutely
and
not.
So the FAA is stepping up and saying, okay, we're going to get a little proactive here. Where have all these incidents been happening? Okay, sure, they're happening on Boeing airplanes, but they're in the possession of the airlines, so the airlines got to take some responsibility.
Yeah, because some of these incidents could have been far worse.
Sure.
With doors falling off,
you don't want
wheels
to see
falling
that.
Off. Yeah. Yeah, it could be very, very bad.
Yep.
But, yeah. Other things going on, I did see this. This is probably a more in-depth conversation later on, but the headline reads, the government confirms big grocery stores were ripping you off during the pandemic.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Kind of a...
They were charging me more than I thought they should be charging?
I filed this under the thanks, Captain Obvious. but the Federal Trade Commission did recently issue a report confirming that a large grocery stores didn't have to raise their prices as much as they did to keep up with the costs during the pandemic. And if that's not bad enough, the FTC did say larger retailers like Walmart and Kroger exploited the system by forcing suppliers to fulfill their orders over smaller stores, which limited competition. And the Food Marketing Institute, which represents those stores, has, of course, yet to comment on the FTC's findings. So, if you felt it, and you started posting in on social media saying, man, I feel like I'm getting ripped off here.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm not sure what all stores were doing that, but they're saying Walmart, Kroger, two of the bigger grocery retailers were doing that. But then now we've got the shrinkflation stuff going on.
Yeah, that's annoying. That's annoying too.
I would like the bag of chips to shrink. I think you're using way too much product to, a lot too much packaging to keep the chips safe. If somebody in NASA can come up with a bag of chips that can be smaller to make up for the actual size, because I think the disappointment that I get when I grab a bag of chips or any other product really is like, why does the box or the package need to be that big when the product that's inside, not so much?
Mm.
Like, I want the bag of chips to be a clear bag, much like, you know, if you buy a bottle of... See, you buy a bottle of...
Now you're talking.
You buy a bottle of orange juice.
Soda or something, sure.
You see the fill line.
Yep.
You buy a bag of chips, most of the time, it's not clear or even see-through. No. Some tortilla chips, you get that little little kind of window into the future.
You can see what's in there.
But if it was all clear, you could say, wait a minute.
No, potato chips are notorious for being opaque.
Your fill line is not quite where it needs to be, man.
Yeah. Oh, I had some good potato chips this weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. They were Cuban sandwich flavored.
Oh, I think I know which ones you're talking about.
They were so good. They tasted like pickles.
Did you get them from that store that you got to put a quarter in the cart?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great.
Yeah.
Those are great.
I think that's where they came from.
I had another.
Stephanie
chips,
hates them because they taste like pickles.
I think they're good.
I like everything tasting like pickles.
More for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
I had ones that I picked up. There was a new one. It was from the, I think it's the Great Lakes Chip Company. Out of, I think, Traverse City.
Okay.
And it was a new one.
What was it?
A new chip.
Okay.
Wisconsin cheddar, but it was Wisconsin cheddar and sea salt.
Oh.
Too salty. Yeah.
Okay.
I would have been fine with the cheddar.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with the sea salt.
But together.
Together. Too much. Yeah. So I got to figure out, and it's a large bag. It's one of those like Mondo size bags. I'll bring them in for you to try, but it's like, after a while, I was like, I need some water.
Puffing up.
Yeah. My ankles were huge. It was not so good.
Speaking of retaining things, gasoline prices are increasing.
By how much?
A lot. The national gas price on Friday, $3.53 a gallon, nearly a dime higher than a year ago. Here in Michigan, we're about a little above the national average. Yeah, in the national average, according to AAA for gas, $3.53 a gallon. For Michigan, the average as of today is $3.56.5 per gallon. Here in Berrien County, $3.58 a gallon is the average. Same for Cass. Over in Van Buren County, you're paying just a little bit less, $3.64 a gallon.
Whew.
Yeah, so we're paying, a little bit more. We're paying a lot.
That's just for regular unleaded, 87, like the cheaper one.
Yep.
What are you putting in the, what's it costing
you
for
get
that
premium,
super premium
way
that
too
you're
much.
Putting in there?
Yeah, way too much.
Like, it's like
gold. But it's saving me on the back end.
You just got to end up putting a bar of gold in there. Like, here.
Just
here,
strap it
just,
to the
just
hood.
Putting your finger in there and it's just taking your blood. Like, yeah, we'll just run your car on blood. All right. Well, that's unfortunate.
I just plug into my soul and it just sucks that out. Every time I drive.
You know what I would love is I would love our paychecks to be just like the gas prices.
Oh, no, like, you don't want that. You don't want that.
No, as gas prices go up, I'd like my paycheck to go up.
Oh, sure.
Along with it, you know, kind of stay within
You'd
the line.
You'd be okay if it went down?
No. So I'd
what
like
if
for
there were just a gas index inside of our paycheck?
I'd just be okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could go down, but not that much.
As long as the tank is full all the time, I'm good with that. But if it goes up as cost of everything else goes up, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And honestly, as things go down, cost of things, you know, my usuals, my gas, my food, my things like that, if it goes down slightly, I'd be okay with that because the cost of living coinciding with the cost of your employment. And
yeah. Unfortunately, those two things haven't met up in the last couple of years.
Yeah, a couple decades.
Yeah.